Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 presents Absolutely Everybody, sponsored by and presented by Enecto, the People Network. Absolutely Everybody, only on Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Absolutely Everybody. I'm Trevor and we look forward to spending and sharing the next hour with you. Thank you for joining us today. It's great to be back week three. Here we go. All set to happen. Keep those messages coming in. We've got some that we'll be reading out later this afternoon. SMS on air. It's primary school teacher in me. 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au. As we said, it's our third show and we're feeling kind of comfortable with what's happening in the studio, which is great. Today we have Julia and Amy on the panels with me. Jodie is doing the production work and she said she's not going to talk today, so we'll keep her to that. Mouth is zipped there. Amy, we know that you have a passion for the footy and sport and all things Hawthorn. We're going to cover quite a few stories on sport, and the big ones we're going to talk about is the link back into the communities.
Yes, indeed. I hope that we can cover a lot of community organisations, different sporting activities, the way that people get involved in their community, and great ways that you can have a go, and even if you're not that good at it, just get involved, meet new people and learn a new skill.
Absolutely. And as we keep on going through it, it's, as we keep on saying, it's all about community inclusion and getting out there and giving it a shot. What about you, Julia? What's happening in your sort of neck of the world?
Well, my neck of the world is I actually went looking at what's on Melbourne this week, most for Midsummer, and also what's out and about in the arts sector in the moment. And we had a bit of a thing down memory lane. So if you're into ABBA, there's Babber.
And who isn't? Come
yes,
on,
I know.
Face it.
We love ABBA. And anyway, so there's Babber at the Zoo that's on at the moment and this weekend. If you can remember back to good old John Travolta, Grease is on at Her Majesty's. And Caravan Burlesque are on at the Substation. Now, I saw this last year at Bruthen, which is down near Lake's entrance, and it's a fantastic show.
Excellent.
And funnily enough, everybody got up at the end and danced to ABBA. That was pretty funny.
Excellent.
So if that's not really what you're into and you'd really like to connect back into your community, two events from Midsummer is the Australia Day Picnic, which is on at Mount Macedon.
Always
on the 26th, which sounds amazing. And the Nomads are holding a Summer Bay Community Walk, but the RSVP's by tomorrow. So if that sounds like something for you, please get onto that one straight away.
There's some great ideas happening out there and about. Today on the show, we're going to have the CEO of Enecto, Estelle Fife, in the studio. She's also the chair of the National Disability Services. So as you can imagine, we'll be doing some stuff around the NDIS. We'll be talking to Estelle about government reforms, inclusion, and the idea about are people better off that the NDIS is going to roll out. We'll also be chatting with Kirsten Dean. She's one of the key players in the campaign to introduce the National Disability Insurance Scheme. And Jodie will be discussing what lies ahead for that scheme. Again, don't forget the SMS and on air on 0427, got it right that time, Joy 949, and again, email on air at joy.org.au. Also, to follow up about the follow us up on social media, Absolutely Everybody.
Joy 94.9.
You're with Trevor. It is now 16 minutes past 12 and you're listening to Absolutely Everybody. Just before the break, I mentioned that we were going to be catching up with Kirsten Stewart later today, but we've got a slight change of plans. Instead, we're going to be chatting with Stuart Cole Morgan, from the Law Institute of Victoria. And Julie will be taking the lead in that interview just after, I think, about 12:30 today. At the moment, we're going to be chatting with Estelle from Enecto, Estelle Fife, who's the CEO over in Enecto, the People Network. As we've mentioned before, you know, part of the focus is around community inclusion, the National Disability Insurance Scheme, or for that very brief period of time, as Amy, you know, has sort of raised with us, disability care. Thankfully, we've gone back to the National Disability Insurance Scheme. I think it's a scheme that most of us who are aware or work in the human service area are a lot more comfortable with the concepts behind that. So let's start by welcoming Estelle to the studio. Welcome.
Thank you, Trevor and Amy. Good to be here.
Excellent. As we said that, you know, we've got some questions, we're going to have some discussion about, you know, the NDIS, the rollout. But first of all, tell us a little bit about ENICTO. What does the word ENICTO actually mean?
Well, a lot of people ask, is it an acronym? And it's not an acronym. ENICTO, it means connect. And it's based on Latin, meaning connect. And by choosing that, we had in mind people connecting with their strengths and their dreams and their aspirations. We had in mind people connecting with each other for relationships, to maintain relationships, build new relationships, and to build stronger communities.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just for people with disabilities, it's for all people?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So following on from that, social inclusion plays a big role in ENICTO. Can you tell us a bit about that?
That's a really big question, Amy, social inclusion. And we've actually redefined our purpose in the last 2 years to be our purpose being to connect individuals and communities to realise an inclusive society. So we've made inclusion and linked to that human rights the basis of what we do. We asked about 800 people over a period of about a year what they wanted from ENICTO. And they said that they wanted us to help with understanding what inclusion meant, that they valued relationships and sustained relationships. They valued being able to contribute to community and society, and that they wanted choice. And that if we were going to be in service provision, they wanted us to really understand and work with them so that could happen, so that people could be socially included and economically included in Australian society and really, really contribute in that way. So we have a number of elements to that, which you might want to ask me more about. So I'll give you an overview. It's about how we deliver services so that there's a focus on people being included. It's about working in an inclusive way so that we have a lot of partners. We don't just do things ourselves. We work with individuals and businesses and also our community groups and arts groups. And it's also about being really clear on what does it mean if people are included, and what does it mean if a community is able to include people, and that means all people.
And I suppose, there's that thing about the service philosophy and the service provision side. Yep.
Very much that the philosophy is very much about working with people so that they can be contributing, so that they can be full members of society, and so that they can be in employment, do things that they're interested in, be a really active participant in the sorts of relationships that many people take for granted.
Absolutely. Amy, you've got some questions you'd like to throw over?
Talking about service provision, can you tell us a bit about the Living Longer, Living Better reforms for older Australians that the previous Labor government put in place?
Sure. And that's a big reform that has a lot of parallels to what we've just been talking about. It certainly, from ENICTO's perspective, it increased the availability of community aged care to assist older Australians who wanted to stay in their home to do so rather than move into residential care if they needed some assistance, say mobility or memory or general help. And it also increased the emphasis on what's called consumer-directed care, which is another way of talking about people having more choice in how the money in their government package might be used and having more choice as to the extent to which they want to manage their services and supports.
Yep. I think that sounds fantastic. We've got some questions around eligibility coming up, but first we're just going to throw to another song. It is by another Estelle. It is actually Estelle featuring Janelle Monáe and Do My Thing All of Me. I'm ex-primary school teacher. That grammar doesn't sit comfortably with me, but I hope the song is good. Play it away.
Hey. Hey, 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 hey. Oh, God. Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9. It is 26 past 12. Just before the last song, we were talking to Estelle Fife from the from Enecto, the community inclusion organisation. And Estelle, you were starting to mention, as part of the Living Longer, Living Better reforms, some stuff or some information about co-payments.
Yes, just one other thing I'd like to say is that the reforms do open the door for the introduction of co-payments according to people's means, although I know there's no intent to penalise people who don't have the means to make co-payments.
Sure.
Just back to the NDIS, are there elements of the current state systems that can be implemented in the NDIS, or is it going to be a completely overhauled system?
That's a great question. And of course, we need to remember that at the moment, the NDIS is operating in launch or trial sites. But there certainly are elements. The state government in Victoria particularly has done an enormous amount of work with organisations on individual planning and on looking at different ways that people can use their packages. And that's really set the scene for a lot of the things that are being looked at if the NDIS is going to work well. And there's some of that happening in other states as well. The other thing is that the NDIS isn't going to deal with everything in terms of disability and disability inclusion, and there's still quite a bit of work to be done through both the state and national disability strategies.
Yes, I've heard there's going to be a few gaps in terms of intellectual disabilities and how they're classified and things like that.
Yeah,
under the scheme, or
not necessarily gaps. Probably intellectual disability is one of the harder ones to understand, what's really going to help people to be more included. So I would say it's going to take a little bit longer to get clear on what the best evidence. There's information about evidence-based practice, certainly, but it's not as well known as it perhaps is in some other fields of disability.
Sure. So who's eligible for the NDIS? And how can we register?
Okay, well, at the moment, people can only register in the launch sites. Would you like me to go through the launch sites?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Well, in Victoria, Barwon region, and that's for anybody up to the age of 65. In South Australia, children aged up to 14. Tasmania, it's young people, 15 to 24. And in the Hunter, it's people in New South Wales, up to 65. Then in 2014, July, it'll roll out, it'll commence in the ACT and in a region of the Northern Territory. And, of course, later rollout. Now, to actually find out if you're eligible, the best thing to do is to contact the NDIS, and the best thing to do is to go onto the web, just Google NDIS, that'll take you through to the website, and there's a phone number that can be rung, and also it's possible to contact them over the web. They have on the website a checker where people can check if they're able to be, if they are eligible. And we can also ring and talk to them about that. It is geared to people who will need what they call reasonable and necessary supports to be included in work and society.
Absolutely. And I think it's one of the important things of the rollout is it's, you know, computer-based, there's lots of telephone support. It's not just the one way of actually getting in contact with people. Thanks for joining us today, Estelle. Coming up next, we're going to hear with Julia from Newsbits. The time is 12:30. You're listening to Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9. And before we throw the song, just a reminder that we can actually get in contact with Estelle later on and ask any of those questions that you want to be asking. She'll be up for that one, I'm sure.
Joy 94.9.
Julia, and the time is 26 minutes to one. It's time for News Bits, and where we'll fill you in on topical happenings around town. As mentioned last week, Thursday, February the 13th is National Apology Anniversary, and the Healing Foundation is hosting a concert at Federation Square. More to come on that. Also, from 5th to 12th of February, the City of Melbourne will host the Melbourne Indigenous Art Festival. Performers will include Deborah Cheatham, Jessica Malboy, Archie Roach and Bart Willoughby. Plus theatre, film, cabaret, visual arts, night markets, stuff for kids, workshops and more, which will be great. Mind Australia, in partnership with Diverse Learning, are looking for those interested to be part in their Building Brighter Futures program, the pre-employment workshops. And to find more out on that, we'll post something on social media. We'll also take post information about an event with the Law Institute of Victoria to take place next Wednesday called Live Out, run by the Institute's Diversity Task Force. This is looking at homophobia in the workplace, and the session will focus on being LGBTI in the legal profession, and so check out our Facebook page. Don't forget, we want to hear from you, the stories of what you do for enjoyment in the community, so please drop us a line. We have a Facebook page, Absolutely Everybody, or SMS us on 1300JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. Next, we have, and we're very happy to have, Stuart Colmorgan, who's the co-chair of Live Out and partner of Norton Rose Fulbright Australia. He's from the Law Institute to talk us about the Live Out project. The time is 24 minutes to 1. This is Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9.
Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9.
This is Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9. I'm Julia and the time is 20 minutes to 1. You are listening to Sitting on Top of the World with Delta Goodrum. Now, diversity in the workplace has become an important element to most professions, and recognising whilst we're all individuals and we express ourselves differently, our commonalities in our work should be the focus. The legal profession is no different when it comes to fleshing out the need for recognition of diversity, and here to talk about how the legal profession is supporting being out and proud is Stuart Colmorgan, co-chair of Live Out and partner of Norton Rose Fulbright Australia. Welcome, Stuart.
Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Now, Stuart, one of the things we're here to talk about is an event, Live Out, that's happening next week. Can you please give us some more information?
Sure. Well, it's probably not the most exciting midsummer event, but for a lawyer like myself, it is something that has been long awaited. What's happened is that the Law Institute of Victoria has set up a group as part of its diversity task force called Live Out. So Law Institute of Victoria Out. And we're launching our network and our portal on the Law Institute's website of information and resources on Wednesday the 29th of January at 5:30 at the Law Institute, which is 470 Bourke Street in Melbourne.
That's very exciting. So the approach to diversity has become even more prominent in the corporate world. Stuart, can you please give us a bit of background on how Live Out came to be?
Yes, well, the Institute ran an article back in 2013 on what they called diversity's new agenda. So it's no longer about just agenda. I'll say that again. It's no longer about just agenda. There are other elements, and one of those is the LGBTI community. So the Institute, which is serious recognition for Victoria's lawyers, decided to add this to its diversity task force. So it got a group of people together and we sat around a table and decided what we felt was important to us as lawyers and law students. And what we came up with as part of our what's become now our objectives is the engagement of lawyers and law students who identify as LGBTI, to ensure that they have an accepting and inclusive environment at work, to ensure that they're supporting their firm's business by engaging with their LGBTI clients and client contacts, and to give something back to the community. So to actually have a corporate social responsibility and pro bono program which spoke to them as lawyers and what they could offer the community. So I'd have to say that's element one, which is engagement, which is really, in the end, I think, about lawyers' happiness. Then we also have contributions to law reform, providing effective services to clients in the LGBTI space, and also providing networking and mentoring opportunities to enhance LGBTI lawyers' careers.
Fantastic. Now, when we were talking to you initially, we were talking about what some of the organisations are doing overseas. And I suppose when you look at law practices overseas, are they ahead of Australia in their approach to diversity?
I've got to say yes. And I'll tell you a circumstance where I found this out. I went to our global partners conference, and I'm a partner of a global firm which has 1,300 partners.
Wow. That's huge.
So I went along, and on the list of events that you could do as a partner at this conference was meet at a bar for the LGBT partners. Now, a whole lot of my other partners didn't actually know what those letters stood for, so they just ticked the box. And so a personal assistant needed to ring them and say, it's not a new practice group. It's actually lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender.
That's fantastic.
So a number of them didn't attend, but a lot of them actually did. And what it actually caught me up to was where Canada is, where the United Kingdom is, where now the US is, even South Africa. So, yes, we really do have a lot of catching up to do. And one of the organisations in the United Kingdom is called Stonewall. And what they do is provide an index which corporations and organisations can apply to be on. And they then publish what the results are. And it's a very competitive environment. For instance, the law firm that I'm a partner of applied in the UK and were very excited about the fact that they placed 66th of the 360 organisations who contributed. So what it is it's about is being shown to be a workplace which is friendly to your LGBT staff, and now it's emerging in law firms, also your clients. They want to know where you stand on this scale.
I did some research on the Stonewall Index because, honestly, I'd actually never heard of it before, and I was pretty inspired. The fact that firms are actually competitively pushing to put forward and get on this index is quite amazing. As you said, there's over 360 employers actually mm-hmm. put forward submissions, and there's over 200 criteria that they actually have to adhere to. So I think as far as where Australia goes, we actually do have a little bit of catching up to do.
Look, we do. And what I'm excited about in terms of the Law Institute's offering in the legal profession is that we provided some materials to law firm managing partners and also general counsel, which is the head lawyer in a corporation or organisation. And we said, you've probably never spoken directly to your LGBT staff before, but here's some materials that you can. And you may have your own network. And even if you do, or if you don't, you might invite your lawyers to attend the LIV Out launch. So we hope and we believe that a number of those managing partners actually did write to their people and say, I don't know who the LGBT staff are, but you're very welcome to attend this event.
That's fantastic. So do you think that diversity is accepted within all elements of the legal community?
Good question. I think the thing that's held us back there is our nervousness about clients, what clients' responses would be. I've had a particular situation where a client rang my home to get some legal advice, saw that my answering machine at the time said, Stuart and Paul live here, didn't leave a message, reported back to a staff member, wasn't sure what to do with that information. Now, that's 10 years ago, so I think we've moved on from that. And now I think that there's some catching up to do to make sure that there is that engagement. For instance, the law firm partners, the managing partners who sent that email probably have never used the word gay or lesbian in a formal firm address before. So I think that is a big step. Our big stakeholders as solicitors, the other people we deal with, apart from clients, are judges and barristers. And I think in those two areas, there's been some good recognition of GLBT individuals. But I think solicitors' firms need to ensure that we're also giving that recognition.
Fantastic. One of the things that I read about the philosophy of the Stonewall Index is people perform better when they can be themselves. So how do you think this applies? Look, it applies absolutely everywhere in any workplace, but in particular in the law industry, how do you think that applies?
Okay, so 20 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, we all used to stand around the Australian equivalent of the water cooler, which is the printer, and talk about what, in a law firm anyway, about what we did on the weekend. And we all played the pronoun game. You know what I mean? The problem is when you use the word they to talk about your partner, it sort of implies a multiple thing, and that's probably not where you want to go with it. You want to talk about he or she. Now, I think what we need to make sure that we're doing is enabling people to make the decision. So when they start in a law firm, you need to make a decision. Are you going to be out about what you do on the weekend and weeknights, etc., or are you just going to be fairly silent on that? my view on this is you should be out. You'll be an authentic, confident person if you are. Not everyone has to subscribe to that. They may come to this a bit later in their life, but that's something that they should really be thinking about.
And I think that's something that people should aspire to in a workplace, absolutely. Stuart, thank you so much for joining us. And certainly for more information on the Live Out event, we'll have those details on our Facebook page, Absolutely Everybody. You've been listening to Absolutely Everybody, and the time is 10 minutes to 1. Enjoy the next song. It's Christine Arnoux, who will be performing at the National Apology Anniversary Concert on February the 1st, the 13th. We're doing well today. This is Sunshine on a Rainy Day. This is Joy 94.9.
Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9.
It is 5 minutes to 1 o'clock and you're listening to Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9. If you want some more information on the stories from the show today, make sure you visit our social media page or anecto.org.au. Remember, all lowercase with Anecto, and join in the conversation. We'd love to hear from you if you've got any questions, and you can email us at onair at joy.org.au, SMS 0427JOY949, or phone us on 1300JOY949.
Alrighty, we had a question. If we miss the show, how can we listen in? Well, we're sending our fabulous anchor, Trevor, off to podcast school.
Podcast school, you've got to love that. Even the name sounds exciting.
We're pretty excited about that.
Yes,
and so we should have a presence soon on the Joy website, joy.org.au. And if you could just give us a little bit of time, and Trevor will make that happen for us.
Oh, nothing like pressure to learn a new skill.
We'd also really like to thank Carol Pedersen, who was our 100th like on our Facebook page.
Yay, we're getting up there with, I don't know, other radio programs here at Joy.
Absolutely. Well and truly.
One of the other questions we've had through is some further information about the Great Australia Day Swim. It's on the 26th of January, hence the name Great Australia Day Swim. And it is, or you can get the information from www.greataustraliadayswim.com.au.
Alrighty. So I'd also actually really like to thank Amy and Trevor for being our volunteers on the show. Now, any show, we actually come on the show as part of our what we do for Enecto. And I just got to say, thanks heaps, guys, for being part of our volunteers.
It has
for
been
doing this, because without you two, this would not be absolutely everybody.
And I was going to say, what a glamorous couple we are. And it's also our joy to do this. It wouldn't be part of the reason we do voluntary stuff is because it's such an important role for us to be doing. And it's not just us here at, you know, absolutely everybody. It's volunteers everywhere. That's why we even have a special day for volunteers. Okay. One of the other things, just quickly before we throw to our wrap, is we have had another SMS. It's from Maureen and Cody from Albert Park. They are there, sitting there listening, going, we're going to be your like 101. So I think by the end of the week, we might even get up to 110 as we go through there. It is 1 minute to one. I would like to say goodbye and happy Wednesday from me, Trevor.
And thank you guys for listening in, and we'll see you next week.
Great week, everyone.
And coming up at 1 o'clock, we have Sammy with Bring a Plate. See you next week.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.